Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League Show. It's a show that's still celebrating Josco's curler 4 days on. We merely take a break for food and sleep. On today's pod, we're going around the grounds as always, as the season approaches that time when the league tables have the odd R or P next to a team's name. It's very nearly crunch time and the pressure is mounting. Thankfully, I'm joined today by two blues who are cool as cucumbers, unflappable. They're podding Rodri's with 5 yards of space before him. They are voices of reason. It's Joe and Ben. Hi, Joe. You well?
Yeah, I am, thank you. I think I'm more ploddery than Rodri, but nice. I'll take the accolade. I'm good, thanks. How are you? Okay?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the weekend. It's been somewhat of a busy week, and I was just saying to Ben off air, Newcastle Tottenham, Saturday lunchtime. Perfect Saturday lunchtime kickoff for me, that. I don't really care who wins. There's going to be loads of goals in it. Nice one. And then straight on to City. So tomorrow should be good.
Yeah, it's one for the neutral, that game, you hope.
It is.
Two really good teams to watch, which I'm sure we'll touch on in this pod.
We will indeed, but we're going to start with City Luton. And of course, prior to that, hello, Ben, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Yeah, all good. Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff. Are you looking forward to the weekend?
Yes, I am. As I just touched on off air, I've just had a lucky enough to have a quick jaunt in Madrid, which was my first time in Madrid. It was a great city, and obviously the match was plenty of fun as well. So all ready to kick on in the Prem now. All attention switches to that.
Yeah, and you're saying as well, the police presence and the way they handle fans, still not the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, as we touched on, there's obviously the heightened sort of threats that were in the news with regards to terrorism and stuff like that. So it was certainly stricter than we're used to in the UK. But I guess that in the back of our mind, we're sort of thinking, you know, actually, I'd rather a little bit of a frisking from a police officer than anything awful to happen.
Yeah.
It's as Joe touched on, it's, they have zero tolerance. And for example, in the sort of main square that we're hanging out, basically when it was time to kick us out, I think there was about 30 police vans and them eyeing us all up with batons. So everyone made a sharp exit to the ground. And I must say from the City fans' point of view, it was all friendly, obviously lots of drinking and singing and stuff going on, but certainly no idiots. Nobody got tipped in any fountains or anything like that. So we did ourselves proud.
Good to hear. Okay, let's have a look at City Luton, which, you know, Madrid comes into this, of course, because we can't anticipate the same lineup. And, indeed, we've got Madrid coming up next week as well. So there may be some kind of thought of that when it comes to team selection this weekend. On the face of it, Luton at home. I mean, I would never say home banker when it comes to Luton Town for what they've done this season, but it is one of those games where you're thinking, just get the 3 points and move on. This might facilitate a bit of resting for Pep, maybe. What's your thoughts on this, Joe? How do you think he'll go as regards to, before we get to individuals, how do you think he'll go in terms of the strength of the team?
I think given the noises coming out of the club, I think Jack Gorn's done a piece. I'm expecting to see some changes, specifically Rodri. I think whilst he's still maintained his standard, I think you can just see in his body language and his general fitness levels that he's struggling a bit. I think he looked really leggy against Palace. You know, he was just like puffing the cheeks and kind of hands on his hips. You could just tell he's starting to catch up with him a bit because the sheer amount of football the lad's played. Mm. It's outrageous, really. I think he'd even interviewed, didn't he, at the back end of when we won the treble last year, saying that he doesn't want to do this again. He can't do it again, but he finds himself doing it again.
Yeah.
So I think City are trying to come up with a formula to try and support rest in him. So I think he's one that potentially go out. I think obviously, we've got the keeper situation.
Where do you land on that in terms of if you were City manager, what would you do?
It's a tough one, you know, because I think we're in a kind of awkward position with Ortega in that we've obviously offered him a contract and we want him to stay. But I think Ortega's playing the game as he's going to see how this situation with Edison goes, because if you want to like go with the traditional kind of football cliche, he's been given a chance and he's taken it. He's not put a foot or a glove wrong, has he? but it's, you know, Edison is obviously fundamental to the way we play. You would expect, traditionally, given that Real Madrid are coming to the Etihad, it's a good opportunity to get Edison back in and get us playing with our feet. And we're also going to be playing against a team with you'd predict a low block. And Edison obviously possesses that weapon of the long ball over the top, amongst other things. I personally would put Edison in and get him some minutes, but I think it might well cost us the renewal of Ortega. But I think, you know, realistically, is Ortega going to take Edison's spot permanently? I don't see it, which is a shame, but that's just, I could be wrong. He could renew anyway, but I think I don't think it would be fair, given the level of performance he gives us, to expect him to just indefinitely be a number two, when he could probably walk into most teams in Europe on what I've seen.
The big unknown, and it's a big, big kind of factor in this, I think, is how Ortega kind of perceives the situation. Is he realistic enough to see, you know, Edison as the number one and think, okay, I'm a quality number two, I'm too good for this, but of course, you know, Edison is going to start because he's one of the best keepers in the world, and, you know, I'm just not quite there yet? Or is he one of those players who, you know, because of the confidence that footballers have and need these days, is he going into training every day thinking, I'm a superior goalkeeper to Edison, and I'm starting to show it now? If it's the latter, then he won't take kindly to being dropped this weekend, and he will be on his way. If it's a former, then he may just have a think in the summer and think, well, I'm getting sufficient game time. I'm winning FA Cups, and I'm playing in Champions League games, and, you know, one long-term injury to Edison, and I could be kind of first choice. And it really depends on how he sees it, I think, and that, there's no way of knowing that unless, obviously, you're close to the keeper. Where do you land on this, Ben? It's a kind of tricky one for me.
Yeah, so I was banging the drum last week and disagreed really with Asan and Lloyd on the podcast about Edison coming back in. Mm. Back in, and my thoughts were that basically Edison should come back in for the Madrid game. I think Ortega hasn't done anything wrong, but I still feel, to be honest, even against Madrid, you know, he was very good. But these games, when we talk about fine margin, I do think it might be obvious to say that Edison is better. For example, some of the long balls, like, it sounds really simple to say, but I don't think he can kick it quite as far as Edison. And I think some of those long balls up to Haaland weren't the sort of, you know, they were maybe just getting over the halfway line, whereas, you know, they might have been better getting to, you know, closer to the edge of their D sort of thing. So
yeah,
I would start playing Edison back in now, to be honest, with a view to maybe even starting him on Saturday, with a view to starting him against Madrid at home. I think from Ortega's point of view and from his camp's point of view, he seems to be making the right noises. There was something this week basically saying he's very happy in Manchester. Of course, you don't know how much of that is, you know, PR training and lip service. But, you know, he did, to go back to your point about what type of personality he is, I think I'm right in saying that when he signed, he was from like a second division team. And, you know, this could be, from his point of view, the pinnacle of his career, even being a second choice goalkeeper. So I'm sort of the opinion, and maybe there is more to it than this, but, you know, we should probably break the budget, or if there is any sort of budget with regards to second choice keepers, and, you know, pay and maybe even pay him as much as a first choice keeper, just to have him as second choice, because he is so good, and we haven't had this for years where we've literally got somebody that we can rely on so much as our second choice keeper, really. So that's what I would do. Whether playing Edison costs us, I don't know. I'd hope not, but I guess, as you said, we just don't know what's in people's thoughts, do we?
And we don't know what's going on. I mean, I should say we're pretty much all on the same page, I think, as regards to this, but we don't know as well. You know, like, Aston Villa could be just feeding him the information right now. You know, Martinez is going in the summer. We want you as our number one. You know, we're chasing Champions League football here. You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, do you? And what information he's being given and what options he's got on the table as well. But it is a case of wait and see. For me personally, I think Edison should start this Saturday. With in mind, starting again in the second leg against Madrid. Defence-wise, no Walker, no Ake, but otherwise, pretty much kind of fine. I'll just stay with you quickly, Ben, and then because I want both of you on the kind of lineup predictions, really. So, Ben, the defence, what shape will it take?
So I think it would be Rico Lewis, Diaz and Akanji. I think Stones will be rested for this one. Obviously, he was pulling up a little bit towards the end of the game.
Was it you, Joe, who's noticing that on WhatsApp against Real Madrid?
Say that again, sorry.
Was it you who's noticing about Stones holding his leg and holding his hamstring a lot against Madrid?
Yeah, he kept holding his hamstring and then like checking his run and looking over to the bench, and I thought, oh, he's coming off here. But then surprisingly, and I was thinking in WhatsApp, they're all going to think I'm trying to wind them up here when they're already on edge. But I just kept noticing it. And then usually when Stones touches any sort of muscle, he's straight off, isn't he? So,
yeah.
And I think it's come to light after. I think you were saying that he was playing on the edge, wasn't he? Yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't seeing things, but hopefully it's nothing too serious.
So, sorry, Ben, for interrupting. Gvardiol, left back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, he's obviously coming in the week, and I think he still wasn't that 100% fit from what I've heard since. But yeah, I think that's the sort of only option that we've got.
Yeah.
So that's the back four that I have. And I think the benefit, and maybe when we go on to talk about midfield, of obviously having Rico, is that I sort of feel we need less protection a little bit, because obviously he does such a good job of going to midfield. But I think that's what the back four will be.
And would you be happy to see Rodri rested for this one?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the noises that he's made this week, again, after making, you know, the similar noises towards the end of the season, I thought it was interesting that before the Madrid game, Pep was talking, when Pep was asked about this, he said something on the lines of, you know, we don't need to rest him for entire games. Like, we took him off with 25 minutes to go with Palace. And then also he said a comment something about players are only tired when they're losing and we're winning. So I guess maybe Rodri's, what he came out after the game, is a bit of a pushback on that. But I just think there's no other choice almost for Pep. He has to rest him with that huge game coming up, and Rodri almost coming out in public and saying and begging for a rest, really. So yeah, I think he'll get rested for this one.
And indeed, you know, with Chelsea on the horizon and the cup, and there's some huge games coming up. Again, I really don't want to undermine Luton here, but when you look at the fixtures, you're looking at this one and thinking, well, this is the one where you can rest a Rodri, or a De Bruyne, whoever it may be. Okay, Joe, kind of midfield and forward line for you, who do you think's going to start? And please tell me Doku, please.
Yeah, I think Doku probably will start. It's a bit of an unpredictable free spirit, isn't it? When you play teams that, you know, present a really stern test in terms of breaking them down, is the type of player who has that kind of ability to unlock them. So I can see Doku in there. You'd expect Haaland in there. I think Grealish needs to continue playing, because I think he's getting back to some of his best form, and I'd like to see his momentum continue. So I'd maybe go with a front three along those lines. And then midfield wise, it's the question. I think Rodri will be taken out, but then there's also who comes in for him. So maybe he drops Kovacic back there into that role and kind of has him as a quarterback, or alternatively there's Nunes, who seems to be a bit of a forgotten man at the moment. He needs to kind of come in and earn his coin, because I don't think it's quite as bad as this, but I'm getting that kind of Calvin Phillips vibe of last season about him at the minute, in that you get the impression that Pep maybe doesn't entirely trust him. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but it's just like, you know, Rodri's kind of running around half dead some games, and he's just sat there not moving off the bench, isn't he? So,
and then we score a fourth goal, it's like, okay, you can go on now.
One of those. So yeah, De Bruyne, I mean, depends where he's at with that bug. I think he said it was food poisoning or a bit of sickness from what he ate in the hotel prior to the game.
I mean, it's nasty, isn't it? But not normally long-standing, is it? It's normally 2-3 days max.
Exactly, so. Yeah. It gave me strong flashbacks that. Do you remember Lasagna Gate with Spurs?
Oh, yeah.
When they were going for the Champions League of Arsenal and they lost like half the squad. I was thinking, oh, please, Lord, no, not that.
Yeah.
But I'd expect De Bruyne to be in. Foden obviously picked up that knock, didn't he, at the end of the game. So I suspect he might be on the bench. And then he might well go with Alvarez next to him. In midfield.
I think Alvarez is destined to start this one. And Doku, and I'm desperate for Doku to start purely from a selfish standpoint where my prediction, my betting tips this week, I really back Doku to in a lot of the bets. But of course he has to start. Ben, what's your thoughts on all that? Anything you disagree with?
I think potentially Oscar Bob could come in. I think that's probably the only thing I disagree with for Grealish, probably. I think we'll see Doku on the left and then Oscar Bob on the right.
Have those started together? That's a fascinating start.
Yeah, that gives it like Sterling Sarney vibes.
Oh, yeah. It does, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.